We're beginning Parsha Shlach. Our Parsha is quite possibly the greatest tragedy in human history. Our Parsha is the turning point in human history. Our Parsha, with that disturbing, depressing note, our Parsha is the Parsha that takes us all the way back to the sin of the serpent and to humanity's failing. And that failing begins with a lack of appreciation. That failing begins with a tendency to whine. That failing begins with a tendency to view things negatively. And so when we begin our parsha, we have two routes we can take. We could follow the path of the parsha and view things negatively, sadly, dejectedly. Or we can ask ourselves, so what do we learn from this? And where do we take the strength, the lessons to improve and to rectify the mistakes that are recurring themes in human life and began in the beginning of creation and repeated themselves in our parsha? And so I think we have to focus on the positive, focus on how to make it better. But first we have to understand what happened. So our parasha, as we know, is in a nutshell, the Jews send spies, and the spies come back and tell us about how the land is terrible, and it causes people to die, and it consumes its inhabitants. And the people go wailing that night, the ninth of Av, and they say, we wish we would die out here in the desert. Why is Hashem bringing us into this land? Our wives and children will be plundered. We wish it would have been much better if we could go back to Mitzrayim. Let us establish a new leadership and return to Mitzrayim. And whatever Moshe and Yoshua and Kalev say, nothing is of any avail. And Hashem says, they wept for nothing on this night. I will make this night a night of eternal weeping. And so our history has repeatedly been a history where on the ninth of Av, we suffered terrible losses. The people are decreed upon that they will not enter the land of Israel. This is the tenth test. This is the tenth failing. And so the people are told they will spend the next 40 years wandering the desert. As they said, let us die in the desert. God says, so be it. You will die in the desert. And Hashem says that your enemies aren't far away. You guys have to leave because you don't want them to attack. And the next morning, some people say, well, we're ready. God said to go, we're going to go. Moshe said, who's said to go? God said not to go now. Now that you've sinned, Hashem is not with you. You will die if you try to go now. And they insist, we're going. And they charge forward. And of course, they are attacked by the Canaanites and the Amalekites. And they get killed. We have the mitzvah, Hashem says, when you come into the land of Eretz Yisrael, you'll have the mitzvah of challah. You'll take off a piece of your dough and give it to the kohen in the land of Israel. We have the story of the mikoshesh, the person who went out and desecrated the Shabbos and got the death penalty. And then we have at the conclusion of the parsha the mitzvah of tzitzit. So that's our parsha in a nutshell. So let's begin again. So our parsha ends with the story of tzitzit, a mitzvah that corresponds to all mitzvahs of the Torah, a mitzvah that surrounds a human being, and a mitzvah that says, "Uri'item oto uzchartem." You'll see the tzitzis and you will remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem. And the Torah alludes at the end of the parsha to this aspect of humanity, the aspect of seeing. What do we see? How do we choose to perceive it? And this is a recurring theme in our lives. Do we look at our boss as that good-for-nothing who doesn't appreciate how much I'm doing, who owes me my salary but doesn't even know how much I'm giving him? Or do we look at him and say, what a great guy. I'm so lucky to work with him. I'm so lucky to have a job. Do we look at our parents as those people who never got me what all the other kids got, those people who made meat, those rotten peanut butter sandwiches, while all my friends got chocolate spread. Those people who never got me the same style glasses and clothing as all the other kids in class. Or do we look at them and say they're the people who worked so hard to make ends meet, they brought me to this world, and I owe them so much? It could be that both perspectives are true. It's not that one is truth and one is a lie, but rather it is a question how we choose to view it. And so the parasha concludes with the mitzvah of tzitzit. Hashem gives us a mitzvah to don a garment that has little strings coming off of it, and one blue string that represents our responsibility to be kingly, represents our responsibility to be like sons of kings, like princes. And that mitzvah connects to the idea of how do you view things. Uri'item oto, look at them. Ve'lo tatzuru achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem. Don't just go after the natural way you see things, the natural desires and lusts of the heart. There's a mitzvah of tzitzis. And our parasha begins with Am Yisrael being sent to see the land. And Moshe has one vantage point when he sends the people. Moshe says, let's get excited over the land we're about to conquer. Let's recognize what's the best means and angle to conquer the land. And the people have a different vantage point. And they enter the land of Israel intent on speaking badly. You know the famous story of two mothers whose children are wed that are sitting at the park and they're talking. So one mother says to the other, Mrs. Finkelstein, how are you doing? So she answers, okay, Mrs. Blumstein. Mrs. Finkelstein, how are your kids doing? Oh, that's so interesting you ask. My son? He's married to a witch. Really? Yeah, Mrs. Blumstein, you'd never believe it. She stays in bed till 9:30 every morning. He feeds the kids. He gets them dressed. He takes them out to school. He goes out to work. He puts in a long work day. Afterwards, he comes home and that witch, she tells him, I've been working so hard all day. You clean the dishes. You put the kids to bed. So after his whole day at work, he puts the kids to bed. She sits back. She relaxes. She does her nails. She reads a book. My poor son, after he was up in the morning dealing with the kids, doing his work, coming back home, then he goes on to put the kids to bed, do the dishes, clean the floors, set up the house again. And when he's done with all that, then she tells him, now come, let's talk. She sits down and wastes his time. He can't catch up on anything he has to do. He wants to go out and learn, can't do anything. Oh boy, does he have it tough. Really? Oh boy, I feel so bad for him, says Mrs. Blumstein. Tell me, how's your daughter doing? So Mrs. Finkelstein says, oh, my daughter? She's working so hard. You know, she can't get out of bed before 9:30 in the morning. Her husband has to deal with the kids in the morning. And then by the time he comes home, she's so wiped from dealing with the kids all day that he has to take over dealing with the kids and doing the dishes. And she could just catch her breath, sit back, and you understand, when it's her daughter, so then poor thing, she's working so hard. When it's her daughter-in-law, what a witch. Same story. Two vantage points. And the truth is that every person and everything we look at has more than one vantage point. That was the sin of the serpent. That's the idea of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is the capacity to make people see what's negative about something. So, our parasha takes the greatest gift, the gift of Eretz Yisrael, and shows us how the spies could twist the story they're going to tell about Eretz Yisrael and get the people to be upset, to renege on their covenant, on their treaty, and look badly upon Eretz Yisrael.